Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, comparison culture is a well-known phenomenon where people constantly compare themselves to others and often feel inadequate or inferior as a result. And with the rise of social media, the pressure to meet these often unrealistic standards can become a big problem for some. Now, how do we fight off that nagging feeling of not being good enough? Well, to help us on that front, I'm now joined in studio by chartered counselling psychologist Leslie Shoemaker. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
I'm delighted to have you because there's so many questions that I need to grill you on. I know deep down everybody knows the answer to all these things, but we just need to be told and hugged.
I don't know if we even know. You know, I think a lot of people, I think especially with young people who are new into that whole scene, I do think that little bit of information is really important for them, because you know, social media is that shiny thing. It does all sorts of wonderful things, and they don't realize, for example, like Kim Kardashian. I remember she was here a couple of years ago, and there's this picture of her having a pint of Guinness somewhere. And the article was talking about how it took 2 hours, multiple photos. They had lighting, they had hair, they had makeup for a picture of her in a pub to have a pint of Guinness. And what was in the picture, what the picture is portraying, this impromptu, popped into this pub, isn't this great, had my pint of Guinness. It was all planned. And so I think it's that kind of thing that we need to talk about, so that, you know, young people or other individuals who are struggling, they understand, when I compare myself to somebody in social media, is it like for like?
It's not.
No.
And it's always, I mean, like, you know, you'll take 200 pictures and one of them will make your grid, and the rest of them you'll think you look absolutely horrific in. But even before we get to social media, like comparison culture, this has been something that we've been doing since the dawn of time.
Absolutely. You know, here's something, just you can take it as being depressing or really interesting, but depends upon my mood how I look at it. Our brains are really simple and straightforward. It has two core functions. We're looking for threat. So the two core functions are, we look for physical threat. So we're the descendants of the people who, you know, when they went out blueberry picking, if they heard a rustle in the bushes, they either ran or they hid, you know? So we're the descendants of people who looked for threat, that physical threat. But the other threat was our social group. So the social groups back in the days of the cave people were really tight, really small, but they were, you know, completely dependent on each other to stay alive. So if you pissed off your social group, you got turfed out. And if you got turfed out, you're either the tiger's, saber-tooth tiger's lunch or the bear's dinner. So the other form of threat that we're always looking for is, how do we fit into this group? How do I compare to others? Am I, you know, am I annoying them or am I keeping the peace? Is it all good here? So those are the two core functions of the brain: physical threat, social threat. Kind of depressing in a way, but interesting at the same time.
What, coming off the back of that then, like, what is it that drives us to constantly compare ourselves to people that we think are living a better life than us?
You know what? Sometimes it can be rocket fuel. Sometimes it can be the, you know what, I really need to make some improvements in my house. Like, I just did a whole bunch of stuff in my own apartment, got rid of furniture. I'm there a number of years, totally redid things. And I confess, I was online checking out ideas, checking out furniture. Paint is next summer. I'll start doing that. And it was fun and I really enjoyed it and it was interesting. I'd look at stuff going, oh, that's really interesting. Oh, this is giving me ideas. Really enjoyed that. So in that case, that's like, we're looking at, you know, improvement, that kind of thing. I have friends who've learned languages that way, all sorts of new skills. I can't cook. I'm the YouTube queen for looking up recipes and watching how they do it. So it has a great purpose in that way. But when we're not feeling so great, unfortunately, we tend to start looking around trying to figure out, where do we fit in all this? And oftentimes that not great feeling just gets worse, because it's like, oh, they have it all figured out. Oh, she just got engaged. Oh, look at him. He's on holidays. Oh, new outfit, new that, you know, that whole thing. So we end up using it as a stick to beat ourselves with.
It's very hard as well when you are looking at all these great things that are happening, like, especially if is something that you're longing for is like a relationship, and you want a house and you want a family, and you're single and you're looking at everybody getting engaged around you, but you've no idea what else is going on in their life. You're just looking at this one shiny moment.
Absolutely.
And it's hard when you're in the depths of just despair to see past that and convince yourself that, well, this is one great thing that's happening to them and I should be happy for that. I've no idea, you know, they could have lost people in the background. Yep. Things might be going really bad at work, but they're not putting that up online.
And the other thing is, it's confirmation bias you just mentioned. So it's everybody, that language that we use.
Everybody's
in a relationship. Yeah. Everybody's happy. Everybody. And the reality is, that ain't the case.
Yeah.
We're all carrying baggage. We're all going through different things. And we also go through a lot of boredom in our lives.
Yeah.
We go through a lot of those in-between times where there's not a lot of action. And you're right, we're not talking about that on social media.
What are the harmful psychological effects that this can have on a sense of who we are as people?
You know, body image, biggie. It's a real biggie, where kids start comparing themselves. And unfortunately, we know that there are sites out there through social media promoting unhealthy body image, unhealthy eating. The sense of self, I'm a loser, just to give it a core name. I'm not good enough. All those types of things. And what we now know is that the more people look at social media, the more we're looking at higher rates of anxiety, depression, lower self-esteem. But also how we use social media is really important. So social media is not the devil. It's not the, you know, source of all ills.
Yeah.
If you're on social media and the platforms you're looking at perhaps are aspirational, or they're people who are being paid to do these things and it's all fake, dump it, get rid of it, go find some nice new people who
are
more...
Do a clean out.
But also, if we're using social media in an intentional way to connect with family, friends, you know, interact with online communities, then the research is telling us those people have better mental health. They have a better outlook in life. They have a better viewpoint of themselves because it's the intention behind it. And, you know, we know pile-ons and all those, that kind of language. Mm. If that's your intent on being on social media, you're not going to be a very happy camper.
Yeah. It's also very much the case of, like what you're saying there, is kind of the glass half full, glass half empty. It's like, well, what way you're looking at it and what you're going to get in return. And even to the body image, like I've fallen into the trap so many times of saying, oh, it's all social media. But then I forget I grew up with magazines in the 90s and the noughties that portrayed the same thing. It's just, it's where you're looking and what you're looking at. A clear out on any social media platform is one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself. Like Marie Kondoing your
feed. Absolutely. Oh my God.
And unfollowing people that do not serve you joy. And if it's something that I always find, if you're looking and going, oh, they're really annoying me, get rid of them. It's as simple as that.
And that is the great metaphor. I know Ms. Kondo is supposed to be about your home, but that is a great way. If it doesn't give me joy, get rid of it.
Is there, like, is it comparing ourselves to others? Can it be positive in some way? Like that, if we're sitting scrolling on Instagram, is there any way of it, like, motivating us?
Absolutely. If there's somebody you're following, I remember somebody recently just told me this story. They were following somebody on TikTok. They had gone through this whole process of learning how to swim. Very open, very authentic. You know, it was tough. It was this, it was that. And they were like, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
Oh,
and they
wow.
booked themselves into swimming lessons. And I was like, that's really cool. So we can turn it into rocket fuel.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. Envy, jealousy, normal emotions. We totally make them out to be the bad guys, but they're not. Mm-hmm. All they are pieces of information. It's our interpretation and our actions that cause problems with it. So years ago, a friend of mine went to China and I was like, I am so jealous. And I was like, okay, that's it. Start saving. And a year later, I was in China.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah. So it's, we can look at these things in a very positive way.
Looking at them in a positive way. And then, like you said, applying it as rocket fuel to yourself.
Absolutely.
And I suppose, like, you know, remembering that social media is a very curated, you know, version of everybody's life. There's not one person who's on there who is giving you their day to day. And if there is, you're not actually going to be following them that much because it's too much information for anyone to process.
Well, it's also boring.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality. It's boring. We have lots of boring bits. But, you know, something you said about the magazines. Magazines are no longer allowed to airbrush. You know, rules and regulations were brought in for this exact same reason. And so it's like, okay, we've done that now in the noughties. You know, magazines are no longer allowed to do this stuff. Kate Winslet, I love her because I remember she was on Esquire. I remember seeing the magazine cover. I was like, my God, she looks amazing. Her legs were really long. She was really thin. She came out and she said, that is not an accurate photo. This is what they've done. And she showed the accurate photo actually on social media and other platforms as well. It was fantastic. And that really called them out. And the Dove campaign's been really good.
Oh, it's been amazing.
And, yeah, and getting that message out. And so if we've made the magazines accountable, why are we not making social media accountable?
Yeah, I've been saying the exact same thing for years. Like, it should be easy to see if a photo has been edited to within an inch of it. Like, we're better at being able to call it out now, seeing that there's loads of filters or that it's been, you know, put through an app where you've distorted your face massively or you've added in some makeup.
Are we? Again, I'll come back to the Kardashian family. They're making millions.
Yeah.
Millions on an image that is completely curated.
Yeah, but then I suppose exactly what you are saying is that logic of looking at it and using it as rocket fuel, not to edit pictures or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but look at it and go, okay, they're doing this. What am I going to do with my life? How am I going to get around it?
And that is the other thing. Yeah. I mean, I have to say they are strong, powerful, business savvy women.
Yeah.
Wow. Hats off to them in that regard.
How, this is, I'm exactly saying this, right? Looking at other people's achievements. How would you suggest that we celebrate our individuality while appreciating other people's achievements? You know, because I'm sure you'll agree that it is very easy to celebrate other people, but like hold yourself to a higher standard.
We're desperate about that. And, you know, we're really good about celebrating other people's achievements. It's funny, I had a group of students, I teach in TU Dublin, and I gave one of them a compliment. He was doing a presentation. I was like, you're fab. And he just looked at me and looked at the ground. We are so bad at accepting compliments. I mean, the amount of times I've given a compliment to a friend, God, I love that blouse. Oh, it's just Penny's best. You know, embrace it.
Sorry, no, this is the most Irish thing in the whole entire world. You just can't. You have to like tear it down, being like, this old thing, it's so cheap. Here's where I got it. Here's where it came from. Or do you want it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's instead, it's about Kristen Neff. Love Kristen Neff. She is the guru for self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And just as a quick aside, research has come out and said self-compassion is more important than self-esteem.
Okay, wow.
So that acceptance of ourselves going, hey, this is where things are at. I'm not happy with my weight at the moment, but this is what I can do to lose it. You know, acceptance doesn't mean we like something. Mm-hmm. Acceptance is saying this is where it's at. But what can I do to make the changes necessary if I need to? So Kristen Neff has this saying, and it's my favorite one. It's whenever I teach workshops, I throw it on the back at the end, and it's be your own best friend.
Oh.
And I think it's such a great thing to do. So I decided on Sunday, I was in town, popped into Mark's, solely for the sole purpose of being my own best friend, and bought myself beautiful flowers.
Go on. This is absolutely amazing. Leslie, that's what you need to do, is just treat yourself. And like, I suppose it's going back to that as well. Like, we talk to ourselves and our self-esteem and our we talk to our bodies terribly.
Yep.
And we would never say the things that we say to ourselves to our best friends.
Never.
Because we don't see them like that. We see them as these whole beings that are beautiful.
And yet, if you told a friend or a family member how you talk to yourself, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I don't see that. And remember, self-esteem, you know, those heart monitors with those funky lines go up and down and in between. That's self-esteem. That's the mistake we make. We talk about self-esteem. You either have it or you don't. No. It's not a black and white thing. Everybody's got peaks and troughs and bits in between. And that's what makes it marvelous.
So it is just so natural that we are always going to be comparing ourselves to other people. But what tips would you give everybody listening at home to stay on the healthy side of that unstoppable frequency that we just want to do?
You know, Marie Kondo it. Get rid of it. Sorry, do that clear out. Absolutely. The other thing, there's some really cool apps out there that you can get to start, you know, controlling your usage. Mm-hmm. I hate that word control, but you can set it for how much you want to do. Like, they did a study with college students in Iowa. And what they did was they had a group of kids who reduced their social media time to 30 minutes a day instead of the average of almost 2.5 hours a day, which I find horrifying.
It's just so easy to scroll, though. I understand.
Forgive me real quick. Again, yeah. TikTok and those things, they are all set up for our dopamine hits. Mm-hmm. They are set up to keep us there and scroll endlessly. So with these kids, they got them down to a half an hour a day. And automatically mood improved, the self-esteem improved, everything improved. So it's not that social media is the source of all evil. It's how we use it. It's how we're viewing it. And take a check back with yourself and go, is this bringing me joy?
Is this bringing me joy is right. And trying to view things with the glass half full instead of half empty is always going to help along the way.
Yep. And be intentional on how you use it.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. Leslie, thank you so much. I enjoyed that so much. It's so brilliant to have you with us this morning. Loads of great advice in there for everybody. That was chartered counselling psychologist Leslie Shoemaker. I'll be right back after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.